Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily. In this season, we will be having a rotating roster of co-hosts. No matter who's sitting beside me in the hosting chair, we're still just two people trying to live our best diabetic lives. Every week, we'll tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we may offer tips and tricks, we are not medical professionals. However, we offer anecdotes and general thoughts on how to embrace a type 1 lifestyle on your own terms. It's not easy to do with all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to. Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here, and this week's special guest is none other than Ariana Freyer. I hope I pronounced that right. We totally went over this. Hi, Ariana.
Hi.
Welcome. So for those of you that might not know just the name, she is cupofoj.com or at Ariana Freyer. I can't speak anymore. It's like, this is me every week now. A-R-I-A-N-A F-R-A-Y-E-R. Oh my God, I never spell out people's names, but I did it for you.
Thanks.
On Instagram. Check her out.
Think of Ariana Grande and the band The Fray, you know.
Just two amazing vocal institutions in themselves. So 100% yes. So we are here to talk a little bit about the ever wanting to talk about dating with diabetes. But before we get into that, I'd love to hear your diagnosis story if you'd like to share.
Yeah. All right. So I was diagnosed with diabetes at age 10. I had just gotten back from this like really big summer event with my family. We all go out to this little ranch sometimes, and it was a full week. And throughout that week, every single person in my family got a stomach bug. So at every point of the trip, someone was throwing up everywhere, which is just my worst nightmare. I absolutely hate.
It sounds like fresh hell.
It was awful. And mind you, like, the place we were staying is like 30 minutes out of the city. So every time we had to go into the city, like, people were getting car sick. It was just horrible. So we finally got home, and then I ended up getting the stomach bug. And I was super thin, or I was normal sized at that point. But a few months after the stomach bug, it was around October at that point. I was super thin. I was like asking for water all the time. I remember telling my mom specifically that I thought my throat was growing through a growth spurt because I was drinking so much water, and that was like the only thing I could think of that was happening. So November rolls around, and my mom calls my aunt, who's a pediatrician, and is like, hey, what do you think of her symptoms? And my aunt was like, you need to take her to the doctor right now. So we go to the doctor. They don't even say – nothing really happens except he's – I think they check my blood sugar, or they say something, or we tell them my symptoms, and they're like, you need to take her to the emergency room right now. I'm like, okay, let's go. And we go. And all I remember is, so I was in there for 4 days. It was a week before Thanksgiving. I remember watching Double Teamed like four different times, that Disney Channel original movie.
Oh my God, such a good movie.
I watched that like four times. I only ate chicken fingers from the cafeteria. I would not eat anything else. And I remember telling my doctor, the only thing I was concerned about was if I could still have popcorn chicken from KFC.
I mean, same. Like, I
wasn't like, am I going to die? I was like, okay, but can I still have this one specific thing, sir?
And what did they say? They were like, just a lot of insulin. Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'm positive about it, but it was fine. My parents had to learn the whole orange, sticking a needle in an orange thing. And then I got one of those bears. Did you get a bear?
No, I was diagnosed at 20.
Oh, yeah. You don't need a bear.
Go back to season one, episode one, for those listening, to listen about how I was diagnosed. Continue.
I totally remember. I did read about this. I got a little bear that we had to inject insulin in it. And no one told me that you had to inject saline in it. So I was injecting like real insulin to this.
Oh my God.
And after a while, it began to smell really bad.
Oh my God, that's amazing. But you wasted so much insulin. Were your parents?
No, I mean, I don't know. They were like, what is this stuff? I don't know. But
so
we ended up
funny.
Throwing it away, this like gross little bear in a dress that just reeked.
Oh my God. So for but those yeah. that don't know the smell of insulin, for those pancreatically capable who are listening, it's definitely a very medical type of smell. Like, it's not like we sweat insulin. Like, we don't smell like it as diabetics, but
like the bear.
When it like spills on you a little bit, or when you're, you know, you get a drop somewhere, it's definitely medical, like substance smelly type of thing. Almost like rubbing alcohol, but like with a different smell.
It's like a sassy rubbing alcohol.
Yeah. It's like, it's basically smells like you wouldn't want it, you know?
Yeah.
But like also you need it. It's not a bad smell. It's just, anyways, we won't go into it.
Yeah. My one of my best friends that I work with, that I've known for years, like we went through high school and everything. I've known her for like 10 years now. Every time I give insulin, she'll like IM me and she's like, I can smell your insulin.
Oh my God. I'd be like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Keeping it fresh. Cool. So you were 10 when all this was going down and you were injecting, I think the bear's name is Rufus or something like that.
What about the girl bear?
Yeah, I'm Googling to the Google.
Girl, I mean, Rufus can be diabetes a name bear. For anybody.
Jerry the bear?
Wait, and what Apparently is the...
What's the girls? What's the,
are they both Jerry? I mean, it's possible, you know.
It's 2018. Yeah. I wrote girl diabetes bear.
I don't remember a time where I wasn't diabetic. And I realized the other day, actually, that I've had diabetes a larger chunk of my life than I haven't had diabetes.
That's insane. I mean, that's bound to happen, hopefully, for everyone. But yeah. I mean,
we wish that for people, but I just have passed.
That's such a thing to realize, though.
Weird. But yeah, like, honestly, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it's you've coped for it. You've lived with it. You're managing it. Like, that's such a – that in itself is dope. And so is everyone listening who's struggling. We're all getting there.
I definitely think that, like my – one of the huge reasons that I started Cup of OJ, which, for those of you who don't know, is my website where my whole slogan is offering a fresh take. Get it? Fresh Cup of OJ.
Fresh squeeze.
fresh squeeze take on, you know, living with type 1 diabetes. I think that like my whole outlook on it is I really want to be positive about everything, because obviously having a chronic disease takes a lot out of you every single day. And I always want to try to look at it like at least the thing that we were dealing with is somewhat manageable. And by like keeping a positive attitude about it really helps me on like a daily basis of having something annoying happen, or, you know, when people are like, oh, that really stinks. It's like, yeah, it does. But like, if I, like, I'm thankful that my trauma in my life is one, manageable, two, lets me meet a bunch of people who are going through the same thing that I'm going through. And, you know, three is allowing me to do something that like I feel like I can help other people with.
Yeah. I mean, I totally resonate with that. In the episode with Rob, what was that? Episode 8 of this season? I'll look it up. We definitely had like a big chunk of that episode being like our silver lining for diabetes. And I know for a lot of people, that's such a hard thing to grasp, because I personally, I'm sure many would agree, I go through days where I'm just mad at the world and mad at my body for not working properly or the way that others do. But like, it has brought me so many amazing friendships and just a level of understanding and compassion that I had no idea I was capable of before. And it's just like, yeah, it sucks. And I'd rather not have diabetes, but it is what it is. And for now, it's what we're living with. But I mean, I'd never get to meet half of these dope people, and I wouldn't get to have a podcast, and I wouldn't, or necessarily as impactful of a podcast, or there's so many different things. And I definitely feel like you're taking advantage of that with Cup of OJ as well, because you get to talk to people like yourself, you know? So
yeah,
it's worth
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't have a side hustle that I – I actually just – I just said the other day, like, I don't think I could be – I don't think I could ever be my authentic self if I was just, like, a lifestyle blogger or, like, a fashion blogger or something like that. But the fact that, you know, having – oh, my gosh, did you just hear Maisie?
No, it's okay. The sirens in New York are off the charts right now, so –
okay, for everyone listening, I have a pug, so if you hear snoring, it's just her. Anyways, I don't think I could be like my authentic self, you know, doing a different type or genre of blog than something that I've dealt with for the past 15 years.
We interrupt this episode of Pancreas Pals for a word from our sponsors, Real Good Foods. Find them at realgoodfoods.com or at your local Walmart. Real Good Foods makes tasty low-carb meals and snacks, perfect to bring to your holiday function. With Thanksgiving and its questionable carbs right around the corner, I know I'll be snacking on Real Good Foods snack-sized pizzas and poppers. With less than 5 grams of carbs per serving, Real Good Foods is sure to spice up your Thanksgiving meal and is one less food to worry about this holiday season. Now back to Pancreas Pals.
Now to switch gears, I do want to, like, I feel like this is such a random way to go to segue, but here we are.
And now on to the next topic.
Yeah, it's a little like, and then I'm not smooth. Anyways, so I had a listener reach out, I think it was about a month ago, maybe more now, who is the significant other of a type 1 diabetic. And not only was that dope to me that we have pancreatically capable people listening who aren't in the medical field or aren't like a sibling of a type 1, but how awesome is that lovely lady for learning? She wants to learn more about type 1 so she can be there for her boo. And I was like, hot damn. I have people listen to my podcast. That's because I put it on, you know? They're like being supportive because I'm the one doing
it. Sit down. Here, listen. It's only an hour.
See, it's not. It's like 30-minute episodes. So it's like, I'm like, oh God. Get it together.
We have so much to get to.
Oh my God, I know. Sorry. That's why I'm always like rambling. But yeah, so this lovely lady reached out and she was like, I really want to learn more about type 1, but like my significant other doesn't, he's very shy about it and doesn't really like to divulge a lot. Like, how can I be the best partner to a type 1 diabetic? And I was like, first of all, shook, because you're an amazing human for even wanting that, like wanting to reach out and, you know, trying to educate yourself. Number two, it's my number one thing is someone will let you know how they want it. They want to handle things. So there's like a lot going on with that, my sentences, and they're probably not stringing along to make sense. But the reason why I wanted to talk about this with you, Ariana, is because I think you have such a great, fresh outlook on it. And as someone who has been in a relationship for a minute, you know, can say things confidently in your own way with your own truth behind it. And then I have my whole lovely background of ups and downs, as do most single ladies, I feel like, of how I approach things. But I think as we are both diabetics, we know what we would want our partners to, how we would want our partners to treat us or to handle the disease in themselves. So yeah, now that absolutely. I've explained that in deep detail, I think the number one takeaway that from anyone who is the partner of a type 1 diabetic listening to this is, I feel like Dr. Phil right now, but someone will teach you how they want to be treated. So like, if they're not opening up and they're not sharing about type 1, they might not be in a place where they want that to be a part of their relationship. Whether that's me saying that's good or bad, that is beside the point. If some people will share with you what they want to share. And I think the most important thing in any relationship is communication and like being there for someone. So as long as you're a listening ear when they want you to be and supportive, that's all that anyone really can hope for at like a base level. But, we can discuss some fun add-ons as well.
I think, yeah, I definitely think that if someone's super quiet about their diabetes, and which some are, I am quite frankly the opposite. I'm so very.
We both have big, yeah. big things about Not talking bad. About it. No, well, probably. I was talking more about the website and the podcast, but that works too.
I just feel like you and I would definitely be like, okay, well, here's what's happening.
That's literally me in every situation. I'm like, sorry, I'm having a low, or sorry, I just need a minute.
Yeah.
But I think that's really important in life, at least for me as a loudmouth person.
Yeah. Well, definitely like know the basics of diabetes, you know how to use a glucagon, know your partner's warning signs. I get to be a really big brat when I have high blood sugar, and I am really snappy and kind of quiet when I get low. And I'm sure my boyfriend Adam
can
have a whole other slew of different things that he points out. But yeah, our 2 years is actually this month. So we've been dating for a little while, but he's been really great through the entire relationship. I basically, from the start, on our first date, we went to sushi, and I was kind of like, oh, by the way, I'm diabetic, as I'm like testing on the table.
Love it.
At a whatever. So he was always good about that. And then let's see, honestly, having someone just know you is really the best that you can do. Like, I've had so many times that Adam will, before we go to sleep, especially if we've been drinking or something, he will set out a glass of orange juice, a full glass of orange juice, even if I'm not low, and it's like 10 p.m. and it's going to be gross if I wake up in the middle of the night. I want warm orange juice next to my bed, but I'll still put a glass of orange juice there.
He's going to listen to this episode and be like, damn it, no more orange juice for you.
He's going to be like, I didn't come here to get judged.
Oh my God. That's so sweet.
He'll put my insulin, and then a needle, and then my meter, and then one test strip sitting on the meter.
Oh my God. And I literally could soft sob right now. Do you have a clone of him? Jesus Christ. That's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Like, there was also one time in a really early point of us dating where I had like gone to sleep, and he wanted to make sure I was okay. And when I go to sleep, I like might as well just die, because there's no waking me up. Like, yeah. I am lucky enough that I can feel my lows and I'll always wake up. But I was dead asleep, and he was trying to test my blood sugar, and he could not for the life of him get enough blood onto the thing. And he just would test. He tested my fingers so many times that when I woke up, obviously, I didn't feel any of this, and it was totally fine because I'm so used to pricking my fingers. But I woke up in like a pool of like dried blood.
Oh my God. Wait, that's so ironic. Lance Bergstein, shout out to another episode we had recently. I need to look up what episodes all of these were. But he had a very similar story. Like, one of the first times his girlfriend slept over, like way back when, she thought he was having a low, so she tried to prick his finger, but she couldn't, like, she put it on a really high setting, and he woke up, and his finger was, like, throbbing, and he was like, what is going on? Like, the next day, like, he didn't wake up when she was doing it, and, like, he was fine, so she didn't wake him up, and then the next day, his finger was, like, throbbing, and he was like, hey, babe, what'd you do? And she was like, I got scared, so, and he was like, it was so sweet, it was so funny, I, like, couldn't say anything, and I was like, LOL, picturing my ex-boyfriend trying to do that makes me lol. But he was great about diabetes. He would like always have Skittles and Starburst and stuff in his apartment if he knew I was coming over, and like, you know, just constantly had backups of things. And when I'd wake up in the middle of the night to check my blood sugar, if I was high or low, he would just like rub my back. It was really sweet.
Oh, that's but, so nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd always be really crabby though. I'd always be, do not touch me. I'm having really a low sweaty blood sugar.
Like, I'm like don't really touch sweaty me. And low.
Yeah. Maybe like, yikes. I'm like such a nightmare. But I'd be like, I know you're being really sweet right now, and like, I love you dearly, but don't touch me.
I like that as a diabetic. we like, you know how normal people, when they get to a milestone in dating, they'll be like, oh, I left my toothbrush at his house. Ours is like, they bought orange juice for me and they put it in their fridge after they went grocery shopping.
It's like, but that just shows like such a level of caring. Like people, I feel like, don't realize it because an average human with a working pancreas wouldn't have to worry about going low in the middle of the night and not having any low snacks. So the significant other wouldn't have to be like, you know, if it's just a bachelor living his life or her life in whatever city and just like not having any food in the house, like that's totally normal. That's like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot of 20 somethings. That was me before I was diagnosed. But
yeah, they just have like one bottle of hot sauce in the fridge.
Exactly. And it's like a week's old orange or something. Like. It's like, that's disgusting. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I can't eat this. And I've had situations where I was at someone's house and they had nothing and I had to like eat a jar of honey. Like, that's just not easy to do when you're low. So
wow, that sounds like a delicious low. I don't know the last time I've
had was like, it was a situation and a half. It was interesting, that poor kid. But I mean, I think that the most you can, like, at the very least, you should be supportive and know how to do a glucagon. And there's a million, we'll put a link of like a YouTube how-to along with this episode on the website. Glucagon is the syringe, it's a fast-acting glucose that'll raise a diabetic's blood sugar when administered properly. And it looks really overwhelming. Like,
super overwhelming.
It looks terrifying, but you have to know that if you have to administer it, the person will most likely be passed out. And at that point, you don't
care.
They
don't feel a thing.
Yeah. They're not going to wake up and be like, oh no, you stabbed me wrong. It's like, you're going to wake up and be like, thank you for saving my life.
Yeah. I used to quiz Adam on like, I would bring it out at random times and be like, okay, walk me through this.
I do that to my sister all the time. And she freaks out. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean? You're my twin sister. We live together. Like, you need to know this. She's like, I don't do well under pressure. I'm like, you know what? If I die, that's on you then, Laura. Like,
yeah, that's even more pressure. I'm gonna live with that pressure forever.
Like, that's some real pressure. Now that song is stuck in my head.
I feel like it's definitely okay. Just having someone care about you and like to a normal person.
We should probably stop saying that. We're all normal. Everything's fine. Rocks back and forth.
I always that's just my humor coming out about it.
I'm
non-diabetic. Oh gosh, I lost my train of thought. Why is this always happening?
I have that effect on people.
This conversation is so fun. All of my thoughts are just flying out of my brain.
I just think it's the reason why this question like touched me on my cold heart is because I truly think that I always think of things from my perspective, from a diabetic's perspective. And like, you know, one of the biggest questions we always get on Pancreas Pals is, you know, when to tell someone you're diabetic on a date, like when to divulge that, like you have a disease, which is unique to every person, is always my response. And it's like, it has more to do with you feeling comfortable about it than someone else feeling comfortable about it. But this is like such a great question because I never, like, to me, a relationship is just always about communication and trust and like trusting that the person would know what to do in case something went wrong and trusting that they'd be there for me. But this nugget of a sweet human is like, how can I learn more and be better? And I'm like, oh, here are all the links to things. Like, you're such a nice person.
Yeah, here's like 18 accounts that you should follow that I know. All we do is talk about everything. But that's so sweet. That's like the I don't know if you're gonna understand this, but the picture of SpongeBob and he walks out of his house and he has a bunch of hearts. And it's like, here, let me give you all of my love. Okay, oh, maybe yes. You don't. But
it's a meme. It's a meme, right?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a meme.
Yes. No, I
that's
feel
like
that.
Me in a relationship. It's like, here's all of my love. Please don't drop it.
Please don't mess it up.
That's kind of like when I first met Adam, I was at the point in my life where I was like, I just had a lot of bad experiences with guys who just didn't turn out to be the ones for me. which is fine. And I was at the point where I was like, okay, this guy's either going to love me for 100% authentic Ariana, or, you know, he's not the one for me. And after, you know, diabetes has just been such a large part of my life for so many years. And if someone can't be okay with that from the very beginning, like, it's fine if they don't understand it from the beginning, but you got to be willing to learn. And I have to be willing to teach. You got to be willing to teach them about these things too. And at the end of the day, like, if he and I are arguing about something and I go low or something, he's still like, oh, well, do you need anything? Like, puts the argument aside to make sure that I'm okay. And that, like, really resonates with just how much he cares in general.
Yeah.
And you got to find someone who sees you as this normal person.
Yeah.
Which we are, absolutely normal. But sometimes, like, I for sure. Okay, so here's the reason why I started Cup of OJ. I used to think that it was, like, really hard for me to look at myself in the mirror and think that, like, oh, I'm 100% a normal person because I have diabetes. I always thought I was weird. I always thought that, like, I don't like it when people don't understand what I'm doing. I was embarrassed giving shots in restaurants or in public. I didn't want people to think that I was just, like, you know, a weird person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hated feeling like
growing up. Like, no one wants
As a kid and going through puberty, it's, like, super hard to think of yourself as this normal person. So I totally understand why dating is really hard with diabetes. It's essentially having someone meet you and having to be okay with them and liking you, but they also have to be okay with this completely foreign thing that they've never seen before.
Instead of wearing our hearts on our sleeve, we also wear our pancreases on our sleeve.
Yes. And that's such a good quote.
Oh my God, maybe that'll be the title of this episode. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, journalism school, for teaching me words. Sobs. But it's so true. Like, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people about, you know, that I'm type 1 diabetic and when I should be bringing it up in a date and when this and that. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I give everything in my life 100%, or at least I try to. And I give my diabetes 100%. And yeah, I don't need to disclose to everyone I'm diabetic, and I don't. And I just live my life. But if I'm going to be dating someone, I don't want that to ever be a problem. And it's weeded out some bad guys, but it's also helped me find really great guys too, and girls and friends, like, you know, friendships, even having a girl be like, can you not prick your finger at the table? That's, like, gross. I'm like, bye.
Oh my God.
That was college.
You said that on a previous podcast though, right?
Yeah.
What, did I hear that on a previous podcast? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, gosh. That got under my skin so much. I would have lost it.
Yeah, but then Rob Howe, like, was like, dude, you just date really bad guys. It's not all diabetes. And I was like, you're so right. Soft.
Those tweets where someone was like, brought out my insulin pen in class, and someone was like, can you not do that? And you're like, sorry, Sharon, I'm just trying to live.
Yeah, literally our lives. But I don't want to scare any of the listeners who are, you know, out there like, I'll never find love. Like, no, I've found love. I'm still out there, back out there again. Like, Ariana is in a great place. I have one of my closest friends getting married who has type 1 in December. Like, we are all normal people. It just might take us kissing a few more frogs to find our knight in shining armor, if you will. But honestly, we need a special type of person who's strong. Like, we're strong as hell. We save our lives every day. We need someone who isn't afraid of us being strong. So that, I think, says more about them.
So before last year at this time, I never really talked about my diabetes on social media, ever. And obviously I do the same things I'm doing today. It's just testing all my blood sugars and dealing with lows and dealing with, you know, not knowing how many carbs are in something and dealing with Starbucks not having a lot of sugar-free options for the holidays and, you know, whatever. And now I just, after dating someone who really sees me for me and doesn't care about any of these things, it made me, I know it sounds so cheesy, but, like, Adam has had such a positive impact on my outlook of my health and my diabetes because he's so understanding and everything, and he doesn't make me feel weird. And like, he is a very large reason that I even started my website, because I felt confident to put myself out there and felt confident to talk about my health and not see myself as, you know, just someone who's weird. I've felt empowered, and I feel like we're badass because we deal with so much shit on a daily basis. And telling, the more people I can tell about this, and the more people I can let know that we didn't get this because we ate too much candy. And
it's all about education.
Yeah. And the fact that now I can educate people a little more, whether they want to see it on my social media or not, like, makes me feel better. And having someone who supports me so much, and and having someone that's like such a big support system, and someone that will like love me and encourage me, even though, you know, I never felt like I could find that by being so open with my diabetes, like, just gives me such a positive perspective.
You heard it here, pals. There's hope. But I think our biggest takeaway for this is, anyone who's listening who is a pancreatically capable human and dating someone or married to someone who has type 1 diabetes, or not, honestly, the biggest takeaway is support. That's all everyone really needs, is a less listening ear and, you know, just the basics of human decency in this tough, cold world.
Yeah.
I'll leave everyone on that interesting note. But I do have to start wrapping up here. I know we could go on about this forever. Ariana, we'll have to have you back on. definitely will. And maybe we'll share some pictures of your adorable pug. But
yeah, amazing.
If you like what you heard here, or just want a beautifully curated feed, head to Ariana's Instagram, which is at Ariana Fryer. That's
Fryer.
Yeah, Fryer. God dang it. Ugh, I'm struggling so hard.
I know, it's like a quiz every time you say it.
I'm like staring at it, as creepily as that is. And I'm like, why can't I remember words? And then go to cupofoj.com to see her fun shenanigans and her take on type 1 diabetes. Follow us on Instagram at pancreas_pals, and follow us on Facebook at pancreaspalspp. We are wrapping up the season, very close to being done, but don't you fret, guys. We will still be doing amazing things, as in, wow, I'm really talking us up. We will still be doing cool things, posting recipes to our website and diagnosis stories in the interim between seasons, but we will be back in early March, late February for season 5, along with my brand new co-host. So stay tuned about that announcement. Thanks for hanging out. I appreciate you, Ariana, and all of your takes and everything that you do for the community, and you're a dope ass person. Let's do this again sometime.
Thanks so much for having me. We're friends now. We're gonna hang out.
Come New to York. New York / I really want to go to Vegas. Anyways.
You should totally come to Las Vegas. We could brunch.
Oh, all I do is brunch.
And bolus.
Bolus and brunch. Do it for the do it for the gram, and do it for the life.
Maybe I'll start a podcast called Just Kidding. Bolus and brunch.
My God. Okay, well, everyone have a great rest of your week, and be sure to let us know what you think of the episode. Bye.
Bye.